The Fan on Demand.
All right, welcome everybody to Baseball Central at Noon, brought to you by Home Hardware. Just check the date, Jeff. Make sure you got the date right.
You got it.
Tuesday, September 16th. Jays 5 games back. Pretty much done. I thought that they had to go 5-2 this week, get a lot of help. Hope that Seattle comes in next week and that they're like two and a half. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 2 or 1.5 out of the wild card. That ain't happening now. I'm convinced about that after last night.
If they lose tonight, then you could probably book Bahamas trips.
Well, I can't book Bahamas.
Well, if you're on the team, not us.
Oh, yeah, not us.
Not us.
I don't have enough money to go to the Bahamas, that's for damn sure.
Those guys.
Lot to talk about as a result of last night's game. We've also got to talk about Joe West and Jonathan Papelbon. We're going to do that in the second part of the show. But let's get to last night's Jays-Orioles game. The Orioles reducing their magic number to 1. They can indeed clinch the American League East title tonight. We'll talk about the game. The fact that the Jays went, 3-for-16 with runners in scoring position?
That's all you need to say, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
The fact that Marcus Stroman pitching an extra rest, not as sharp as we've seen, although I don't know how much extra rest had to do with it. The talking point out of the game, resulted from Marcus Stroman throwing behind the head of Orioles catcher Caleb Joseph. Now, set the situation for you here. Jose Reyes slid headfirst into home plate. And Caleb Joseph, the Orioles catcher, stepped on his hand. Now, I don't think he was doing it intentionally. He's got the ball and he's got the plate. Anyhow, so Reyes chirps him. He chirps Reyes. Caleb Joseph comes up to the plate. Marcus Stroman throws behind him, behind his head. The Orioles come to the top of the dugout. Buck Showalter just livid. Of course, he's already lost 3 regulars this year. It makes a waving motion at Stroman as Stroman leaves the field. And Stroman, of course, turns back and says a few things to the Orioles, which I happen to think he had the right to do because they were all on the top step of the dugout. And to me, they were essentially challenging Marcus Stroman. Mm-hmm. And I think a young guy's got to lay a marker down. You got to put a line in the sand at some point and say, hey, you know what? Screw you guys. Anyhow, that's my feeling of it. Do we have Buck Showalter's comments after the game? This is Buck Showalter, manager of the Orioles, after the game. This is what he said about Marcus Stroman throwing at Caleb Joseph.
Let's face it, you know, he's 23 years old. He's emotional. You see him coming off the mound doing it. Whatever. I'm sure, you know, I'll let Toronto take care of that, and I'm sure the league office will do what needs to be done. You let your emotions take over, and all of a sudden somebody's laying at home plate in a pool of blood with a blow to the head. You know, how really manly do you feel? Was it really worth it? You know? I mean, if you don't have the command to throw the ball where you're supposed to deliver a message, then you shouldn't be throwing it at all there. And it really pushed the hot button with all of us because it certainly wasn't called for. That was obvious. It was borderline professionally embarrassing.
That is courtesy of our friends at Mass and Buck Showalter. Talking about Marcus Stroman after the game. Yeah, Buck Showalter, a bit of a hypocrite there. There's no manager in baseball who likes having his pitchers throw inside like Buck Showalter does. But I know that Barker wants to jump in this because Barker's disagreed with basically everything I've said about this. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. Have at it.
That's not the case. How do we start this? We're going to start it this way. If you're a kid and you want to know how not to slide into home plate, this is how. You do not. The catchers wear lots of hard gear at the plate, and when you slide head first into home plate, it's baseball 101. Do not do it because, as you see right there, Jose Reyes, as soon as he slides, he looks at his hands. Well, you see good players do that. And catchers, they're not going to move. That stuff that they wear does not move. And when you run into it, it does bad things to your body. That's why they teach you to slide head first slide feet first because your feet can knock their feet out of the way.
And Kevin, I just want to interrupt about because there'll be a technical issue about that play at the plate. I thought Caleb Joseph totally lived up to the letter of the law. Reyes a lane. Caught the ball. He didn't have time to decide whether or not he's going to step in his hand. That's
Again, it gets back to Reyes. If he slides the proper way into the right base, which is you can slide that way at the other three bases. At home plate, the guy's wearing protection. You can't do that. It's going to hurt. That's why they teach you to slide feet first, because your feet are going to knock his feet out of the way. We wouldn't be having this conversation, is what I'm saying, if he would have slid the right way.
Right.
With that being said, and the catcher's doing all the right things. He's sliding. He's protecting the plate. He's doing what baseball is telling him to do. My question is, what can Reyes possibly say to him? That's the whole point of this. Is
we don't know. By the way, we don't know if Caleb Joseph said something to Jose Reyes.
We don't. We can only talk about what we saw. We can't hear what they're saying, and I'm sure it probably wasn't good from both sides. So, with that being said, how do you? After that has happened, and Reyes is obviously mad at something, I don't know what that is. You'd have to ask him, and it's probably nothing. It's probably because they're losing, and you know, it's that time of the year. You slid into the wrong base at the wrong way, whatever the case may be. And when you're a starting pitcher, you're somebody that has to, I guess, it feels like they have to go out and take up for your team. Well, My answer to this is a guy that's been around baseball for a very long time and played, maybe not at this level for a very long time, but I played in some levels that you're not going to see this. They do it, and it's not seen, and it's not as big a deal as it is here. With that being said, when I played, it would have been different. If you go out and you do things as a pitcher and you want to retaliate to help your team, you have to do it the right way, in the right situation, at the right time. Are all of those three things that I just said, were they done all at the right time in the right spot? No, they were not. To me, it's Marcus Stroman went about that the whole entire way. First of all, Reyes was wrong. You can look at that as any way you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. If he slides into the base the right way, we don't have this conversation.
Right.
That's the first thing. Well, it didn't happen that way, and I guess he felt like he needed to say something. So I'm just not understanding the whole situation leading up to Marcus Stroman throwing at some. Obviously he did it on purpose, whether it's Navarro giving the sign saying you need to, and normally it's a thumb sign, and I was watching a game and I didn't see a thumb sign either. That's usually what it is. If you want a guy to go up and in and tight, meaning around him or hitting him, it's usually the thumb, meaning that you want to put him on the ground. I did not see that. Maybe the signs are different, or Marcus Stroman just took it upon himself that he felt like he needed to do that. And in that situation, sometimes as a big leaguer and as a young big leaguer, to me, you have to know the situation. You have to know what has happened to lead up to taking up for your team. Meaning, if you go to Marcus Stroman and say, why did you throw at the guy when Reyes is at fault? That's my thought. Mm-hmm. If Reyes wasn't at fault and the catcher stepped on his hand on purpose, yeah, that's part of baseball.
But Kevin, put yourself in Marcus Stroman's position here. You're a rookie. You're amped up anyhow to begin with.
Right.
You've seen your teammate chirping the catcher. You know that the catcher stepped in your teammate's hand. You know, that's all you know if you're Marcus Stroman. You're out in the mound. See, I think Jose Reyes created this situation by reacting the way he did. Here's the thing. If Jose Reyes goes back to the dugout, doesn't say anything.
Obviously, nothing happens.
Marcus Stroman's not going to throw.
No.
Not going to throw at Caleb Joseph. Here's the thing, though. And I think we both agree on it. You don't ever throw at anybody's head.
Never.
If you're going to throw a purpose pitch, it's going to be in the ribs.
Right. That's my question. Would Buck Showalter would he have been as mad if it would have been somewhere around the knees or somewhere around the waist? Probably not. That it's just part of baseball, but it wasn't. That's the point. It wasn't around his waist. It wasn't around his knees. It's up around his face, his head, above his head. When things like that happen, it escalates into a problem, and then people start talking about things other than what you did on the baseball field, that's bad when that happens. And I just don't understand the situation. I don't understand, you know, when you're a young player and you're trying to establish yourself, well, there's certain ways of establishing yourself, and it's not taking it upon yourself to hit somebody in a situation that a guy shouldn't be hit, is what I'm saying. That's my point.
It's Baseball Central at noon with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Here's what I feel, though, about Marcus Stroman looking at the Orioles as he went off the field and chirping at him. Here's what I think about that. If you're going to all line up in the top of the dugout, like you're going to intimidate me, if I'm a young guy and I would do exactly what Marcus Strome did. I would have walked off and I would have told somebody to go F himself.
Yeah, well, it's not, in the big leagues, it doesn't work that way. You're on a team. First of all, the Orioles are in first place. They're at home.
Yeah, but
that's what, Kevin, they're supposed to do. They're supposed to take up for their teammates.
Yeah, but you think you've taken up for your teammate. If I look over there and all those guys are lined up on the top of the dugout and they're staring at me and you know that they're trying to intimidate you, damn right I'm going to say something. You don't push me around.
Okay, Marcus Stroman, what would he expect? By throwing some guys around his face, around his head. Now, regardless, he did not hit him, and he did not hit him in the face, but it was around the face, the head. What is it the opposing team supposed to do to that? You know what you do if you're Marcus Stroman, and you knew you were going to hit this guy. You knew you were going to throw somewhere around him before the inning started. Why look in the dugout? You're making it worse. It's like I got back to that thing. It's old school and new school. Well, Buck Showalter, you could tell when he was fine until Marcus Stroman looked in the dugout.
If Marcus Stroman doesn't look in the dugout, do you think Buck goes out?
I don't think so. But it's that thing. It's all right. A new school guy walks off the field and smiles and looks in the dugout like what are you guys going to do? That kind of thing. And you could see Buck Showalter sitting over there like an old school guy thinking about how to pick a fight. That's what he's trying to do because he's taking up for his team. That's what you do as a manager. And I get back to the thing. The Blue Jays are not in first place. They're not 12 and a half up in the American League East. The Orioles are. It just comes with the territory. You come to my house, you hit one of our players or around one of the players, this is what's going to happen. And to me, you can't blame the Orioles. Right. If you're going to blame anybody, you have to blame Jose Reyes for obviously not sliding the right way into the right base and then getting up and blaming somebody else for not doing that thing.
All right. Well, we agree about Reyes being the spark that ignited this. But I we're going to have to disagree a little bit about Marcus Stroman. But as I always tell people, and I'm not just saying this because you're here. I mean, I'm always going to bow to the guy who played the game, because I've never had to stand up at home plate and have a ball thrown on my head. So, and I think you're absolutely right. And you know, the thing about Buck Showalter is amongst the oldest of the old school guys you're going to find. And I'll tell you, the two managers I've covered in baseball who you do not want to get in a bean brawl war with are him, and he's not managing anymore, but Tony La Russa.
Well, you got
Tony La Russa would tell it. Tony La Russa would tell his guys, you're going out, you're throwing at him. You're throwing at him on the third pitch.
You're saying we haven't seen the last of this. Something else is going to happen.
I wanted to talk to you about this. There was another scene last night that didn't get a lot of play. Mark Burley, you can see, goes over, sits down next to Marcus Stroman, and he's not telling him way to go, kid.
It didn't look that way.
It looks very much, but he's not scolding him, but he looks like, hey, you know, you got the impression it was the veteran trying to talk to the kid about this.
Do you think he asked why you did that? Would be the first thing I would ask is, why are you doing that? I think it gets back to the point of where the pitch is at.
Right.
And it's up around people's heads. And we've seen the last 2 weeks when balls are thrown around players' heads, that doesn't go well.
Giancarlo Stanton and, of course, Chase Headley. But let me ask you this, Kevin. Okay, we have this. This has happened. We know that there's two more games against the Orioles in this series. The Orioles can clinch tonight. I don't think anything happens tonight. They can clinch tonight. There's three games at the end of the year, three games that'll be meaningless for the Orioles and now it appears for the Blue Jays. What happens today that can prevent something further from happening? And I'll tell you why I'm asking, because we've been around baseball now for a lot. There are ways, a veteran on the team, maybe a Mark Burley will go up to Nick Markakis, maybe around the cage today, say, hey, you know what? I talked to the kid. He realized he was wrong. It was kind of, it was off base. You guys do what you got to do, but I'm just telling you that, you know, this is where we are with the kid and we've spoken to him. Stuff like that does happen. But where do we go from here now with this?
I think Buck's the one manager. I don't think it matters. I think it's the Orioles I kind of like the Milwaukee Brewers of this year. They're kind of the bad boys of baseball, meaning Buck is the leader of that, meaning you come to this house, you do this, with us being in first place, us leading the American League East, there has to be some kind of retaliation. And normally that means that your best player is going to get hit. And everybody knows the best player is Batista. So it has to be somewhere around that player, whether it be Edwin, Batista, Lind, somewhere in the middle of the lineup. Is it going to be today? Probably not, because that's how people get suspended. You don't want that to happen because, you know, playoff time, getting ready for play, all of that things come into play. But it just, it seems to me like, yeah, you can go and BP, I'm sure they're going to mess around, they're going to joke about it. But it gets right down to it. How does Buck feel about this? And you saw the interview after the game. He didn't like it too much. It wasn't very excited. And you see him come out with the umpire trying to pick a fight with the umpire, saying that, you know, I'm gonna make this, because this is a family show, I'm going to read between the lines on what Buck said to the umpire. But I'm sure it was something of the nature of, how are you going to let a rookie come here and do that to the team that's in first place in the American League East? It's just, it can't happen that way. There's a certain pecking order in baseball, and you've earned the right. When you're in first place, you've earned that right. Mm-hmm. You're in first place because your team is better than everybody else that time of the season. So how are you going to let a rookie come in here and do that to us? I'm sure that wasn't how it was said, but I'm sure that was the gist of it. So to get back to your question, I'm not sure it really matters. I'm not really sure it matters if Mark Burley comes over and says, hey, you guys do what you want to do, but I'm sure the kid feels sorry about it, and maybe it will. Maybe it will work, but when it gets down right to it, how does Buck Showalter, he's the one guy, I mean, I heard you talking on your show earlier, or a caller called in and said something like, is the manager involved in that? Well,
this isn't the guy called an idiot, is it?
No, that was the guy before that, I think.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you have to, the manager has nothing to do with that. It's more the pitcher feels like he needs to take up for his team. He's going to say, whoever's catching, this is what's going to happen. It's usually not the manager. Sometimes, maybe. This may be one of the cases where Buck says, yes, something needs to be done. You know, maybe not hit a guy, but you're going to have to put a guy on his butt. That's just part of baseball. But it gets back to the thing of some people need to know how the game is played. That's all I'm saying. There's certain times you hit people. Mm-hmm. And there's certain times you have to know the situation and know that your teammate may be wrong, and you don't do that. That's what I'm saying. That's just part of baseball. That's growing up. That's being a big leaguer. And if you're going to be one of the top tier pitchers for the Blue Jays, you have to figure those things out. There's a time and a place for everything. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, but Kevin, again, I also go back to this. I mean, Miguel Gonzalez threw at Melky Cabrera. The Orioles have hit. I'm trying to find the numbers. I seem to remember them throwing up this going on all year. I seem to remember the Orioles having thrown at the Jays a fair amount, a couple of times at least. And I'm wondering if maybe there isn't a carry over here.
Was there guys that you have to pitch in? That would be my first question. I don't know the number you're looking for, but sometimes you hit guys because you're trying to throw them in. That's just part of baseball. That's the only way you can get them out, because Cabrera's one of the best hitters we've seen this year. He wears out everything. So maybe the book is you have to throw him up and in. I'm not saying that they're not trying to hit him. I don't know that. I'm not around the Orioles team enough to know that. But I'm saying certain guys that you have to throw in, it gets away and you hit those guys. But I'm saying, you know, sometimes you can't make it as obvious as Marcus Stroman did yesterday. That's what I'm saying. And you have to know when and where to do it and why you're doing it. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And it's a baseball's a respect thing. You have to be respected on the field. Is Marcus Stroman not respected today? Well, definitely not by the Orioles. That's all I'm saying.
It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and an increasingly agitated Kevin Barker.
Yeah, not really. I'm just, you know, it's...
No, listen.
You have to. And I think it made it worse to me when Marcus walks off the field. I know what you're saying about them lined up, but they're at home. They're in first place. That's just how. What if it happened at the Rogers Center? Then the roles were reversed.
And
the Blue Jays would have been on the front, on the top step,
and I would have had no problem with the guy looking over at the dugout. And that part of it to me is Marcus Stroman, like I said, throwing down a marker. I'm not saying. I've been very clear. I don't like the fact that he threw at the guy's head, but I have no problem if you're going to challenge a guy like that, I have no problem with him looking back at you and essentially saying, guys, you know, we're gonna meet a few more times down the road. You know, I and quite frankly, I think there are a lot of people in Toronto who probably like the fact that Marcus Stroman did that, Kevin, because one of the things, you know, is that people look at this team and say they don't have enough of an edge.
Well, I think what you said earlier on your show, I get back to that. I'm going to give you props. I think it's just sometimes you have to admit that a spade's a spade. Maybe their team's just not that good. They're not good enough to beat the teams in the American League East. Maybe that's what it is, because when you're 3-for-16 with guys in scoring position, that just tells your team's not that good.
All right, I want to talk about the game last night as well. The game, the actual game, in addition to the incident with Reyes and Caleb Joseph. I think we've seen now, you know, we've gone through a couple of stages with this team. There was that run in May where they were really good, and we were looking at some of the contributions made by the bench players, right? Kevin Pillar and Anthony Gost, they weren't really bench players. They were in the lineup. Ryan Goins, they were winning games, doing a lot of things. The top of the order was bopping. The bottom of the order was doing a lot of those small ball things that can result in success. We looked at that and we thought, okay, there might be something happening here. We're on September 16th. Now the Jays are 5 out of the wild card and hanging by a thread. And I think if you look at this team and you look at the players on this team, you get past Edwin, Jose, certainly Melky Cabrera, Jose Reyes, Colby Rasmus, I'm going to throw him in there, and Deonner Navarro. I go beyond those guys, and I'm basically looking at a bunch of 25th men.
No, Lind.
I'm sorry, Lind. Pardon me, Lind. Yeah, I'll throw Lind.
You can maybe throw Rasmus and put Lind in.
Yeah, but I think most people look at Colby Rasmus and say, okay, he might be able to be an everyday player.
Right.
Don't think anybody's looking at Danny Valencia, Munenori Kawasaki, Steve Tolleson, and even John Mabry, and going, they might be everyday players.
Right.
And Pillar and Ghost, we still don't know about. The talent level's just not good enough.
Yeah, I think it's like you said, you have to. Every good playoff team, and you mentioned Oakland yesterday, that's trying to do the platoon system. It just doesn't work. It's very hard when you don't have starters on your team to run out every day, where guys don't have to come to the field and look at the lineup every single day and figure out if you're playing or not. There's only a couple of guys on the Blue Jays team that don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Until you get that team on an everyday basis where they don't have to go to the field and, oh, look at the lineup and see, oh, I'm not hitting fifth, I'm hitting sixth, I'm hitting third, whatever the case, until that happens, the Blue Jays are going to be a team that goes up and down, where they win 5 or 6 games, they look like the best team in the American League, and then they go 6 or 7 games and look like the worst team in the American League. You look at their team, you don't have to look very hard to figure out why they're not winning. It's obvious. And then you see 3-for-16. Well, that's because most of those guys are going 3-for-16, don't play every day.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Yeah. This couple of things about the past week and the next 2 weeks. I think we're seeing some things about Kevin Pillar. Bad time for him to go in the type of slump he's in, but I don't know if we're learning anything new about anybody, but I think we're seeing that Kevin Pillar as an everyday player, not happening. Anthony Gost as an everyday player, can't happen for me right now. Great defense, but can't happen to me. Ryan Goins can play every day for me as long as I got a bunch of other guys who are healthy and hitting in the lineup. But I go beyond that, Kevin, and I'm sitting here thinking, is this what life is going to be like next year without Melky Cabrera?
Yeah, and then you have to...
And that, to me, more than anything else, the thing that has really been reinforced to me about the past 10 days or so is just how not having Melky in the lineup. And I'm not surprised. I think Melky's a good player. But how not having him in the lineup has just sucked the life out of this lineup.
It makes it
really
hard.
Has.
Well, you look at the bottom of the lineup when you have Tolleson, Pillar, Goins, Rasmus, and Ghost at the bottom of your lineup. And then instead of a manager having to worry about where he's going the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th in the bullpen, he has to worry about who's going to pinch hit in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. It just makes it so hard because, you know, you have guys that are having trouble those three guys that you mentioned can't hit a fastball. That's why they struggle at the big league level. Yeah, in the minor leagues, they can hit fastballs because they're not spotted fastballs, meaning if you can hit a fastball away sooner than later in the minor leagues, you're going to get a fastball away that you can get a hit on. Big leagues, they don't do that. If they find out you can't hit a ball in, that's all you're going to get. That's what I'm saying. So until those three guys you just mentioned to me figure out how to hit a fastball and hit it all the time, it's going to be real tough for the Blue Jays. And then we didn't even mention the bullpen. You're mentioning something next year in the bullpen. They have to figure out roles. You have to figure out when guys need to get loose so they get into a routine when they can do it every day. That's when a player's at his best.
Mm-hmm.
Not when everybody on the entire team is getting ready in the third inning. You just can't play like that. It's hard.
I mean, I look at this bullpen, and I'm going to throw out Aaron Sanchez because I think he's going to get a shot at starting. I'm still not entirely convinced that he doesn't end up in the bullpen, but I don't want to have that argument now. You look at the bullpen, and I'm looking at Brett Cecil, Aaron Loop, and I still think Todd Redmond is a swing guy. But my sense is that the manager doesn't have as much faith in Dustin McGowan as he used to have. You know, Brandon Morrow, he ain't coming back at $10 million next year. It doesn't matter. He could, you know, he could hit 105 in the radar gun for the next four outings.
Really?
I just don't.
Okay, real quick before you stop, who would be the closer next year? That's because you have to have a closer.
You're gonna have to find one.
So is a really good closer in the American League East going to cost you more than $10 million? Probably.
You're probably going to have to. Well, you won't get a free agent. You're probably going to have to trade for a guy or try to cobble something together. But I mean, even leaving McGowan aside, I mean, you're right. There's a lot of heavy lifting that needs to be done in the bullpen next year, as well as the lineup. This is what we're seeing. And one of the things that we wanted to see accomplished in September was, you know, the Jays make the playoffs, but also find out some stuff about some people. We're finding out, I think, some positive stuff about Brett Cecil, who's really, really gone up in my estimation. And Aaron Loop is still...
Aaron Loop. Mm-hmm.
And somehow seems to have avoided the regression monster after a fair amount of work last year. There are a lot of decisions.
I think the Cabrera thing, to me, makes it's very important.
This is reinforced. This is reinforced how important Melky Cabrera is to this lineup. By the way, thanks to J.D. Bunkus, our ace researcher. He is our research staff. He also produces a show because Travis McKinney. You know what Travis is doing? Travis is in Chicago.
He is.
What?
That's great. He's on his way home, maybe.
Maybe he's on his way home? No.
Well, I mean, I think he went to three games over the weekend, so I think he's on his way home.
He's going on to see the Packers. Oh, Lance got it. Somebody else got it. Lance Kennedy. He doesn't even work on our damn show.
Yeah.
What the hell's up with that? I'm going to go all Buck Showalter in you.
That's awesome.
Anyhow.
Who are you going to yell to? Because you can't yell to me.
Came up with the numbers. 9 Orioles have been hit by Jays pitchers this year. 5 Jays have been hit by 9 by Orioles pitchers. That's 14 hit by pitchers in a series.
That just tells me that the way you get these guys out are pitch them in. Yeah. That's all that tells me.
That's not a trend. That means pitching
to
inside.
To me, that means nothing. You have to establish in as a starting pitcher. You have to show guys that hit and that hit the ball out of the yard that I'm not afraid to throw in. Now, if you put them on the butt and you accidentally hit them, excuse me, that's just the way it is. But what I'm saying yesterday, I'm going to get back to that real quick. It just was handled from the get-go the wrong way. If it's handled the right way, then so be it. You take care of in-house. That's what you do as a player. I have no problems with that. From the get-go, right out the gate, it was handled the wrong way. And now we're seeing that opposing teams are going to have to take care of it, like the Orioles are going to do something to one of your best players. Then what are the Jays going to have to do? It's going to escalate into something else. And this is what I'm saying. That's why I think you should have a 3-minute rule. If you start something with somebody, you got 3 minutes to fix it. You know, that would cure everything. It's never going to happen because, you know, it's bloody and it's a family game. But I'm saying.
You're such an old school guy.
I'm just kidding. Well, not really. But you have to, you know, that's how you become a big leaguer. You become a big leaguer because you know how to play baseball and it's done in the right way. I'm going to be the first guy to tell you to go hit somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be done at the right time in the right situation, and it just from the get-go wasn't handled right, and I had a problem with that.
How do you feel about the people for ethical treatment of animals?
That's just...
They sent a cease and desist order to the Blue Jays because they had they brought baby animals to the locker room on Sunday. Because I know you're a bit of a Democrat. I know you're a bit of a left-leaning guy, so I thought you'd be... You're a tree hugger.
What's next?
We're going to go on. I just want to get that out there. We're going to talk about Jonathan Papelbon. We're going to send a crotch grab in his direction. Talk about Jonathan Papelbon and Joe West. And this is another kind of old-school baseball thing. We'll get Barker's point of view on Joe West manhandling Jonathan Papelbon when Baseball Central returns on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome back to Baseball Central at Noon, everybody. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker for your listening and viewing pleasure. Jays and Orioles will play the second game of their three-game series tonight. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet. First pitch set to fly at 7:07. First fist set to fly someplace around 7:30. I'm just kidding. The Orioles can wrap up the American League East title in front of the Blue Jays tonight. If they win, their magic number is 1. And they get to spray champagne and then bide their time for 2 weeks. That's relatively early to
it's a long time
to clinch. Anyhow, they'll have 2 weeks to get rested and get ready for the playoffs. Interesting incident on Sunday in a game involving the Philadelphia Phillies and John Papelbon, the Phillies closer, blew a save, and as he was taken out of the game, of course the Philly fans are booing at him.
Mm-hmm.
He's taken out of the game, and he adjusted his jock strap on the way out. Joe West, who's the second base umpire, 61 years old, he's been a major league umpire since 1976, goes over to Papelbon, ejects him, but grabs Papelbon by his jersey and throws him aside, pushes him aside. Jonathan Papelbon has been suspended for 7 games and fined.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty clear that Major League Baseball didn't buy the his excuse that he was just merely adjusting his cup as he went out.
Was it that because he bumped the umpire? I think it was that.
Part of it, the ruling was also about the adjustment. They thought he was making a lewd gesture to the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Don't bump the umpire. That's bad.
And Joe West, of course, pushed Papelbon aside. Now, a lot of people are wondering whether or not there would be any discipline for Joe West. I think, I don't know how I feel about this, because Joe West clearly grabs mm-hmm. Jonathan Papelbon, clearly pushes him out of the way. And I get if Joe West is looking at it and thinking it's a lewd gesture. And you can see in the TV replay, he's just disgusted with Papelbon.
Sure.
Yeah, it could be a Sunday afternoon, hot weather, getaway day, everybody. I don't know what the issue is, but Joe West just throws him aside. And, you know, part of me, when I first saw that, I thought, there's no way Joe West should be touching a player. I don't think players shouldn't touch umpires, just as I don't think umpires should touch players. But Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports has written a column on this. And, you know, he raises an interesting point in that essentially what he's saying is, you know what, maybe Joe West just looked at it and said, I got kids here, I got families here, I got this jackass grabbing his crotch on the way off, disrespecting fans. You know what, I'm going to step in. I'm going to step in and deal with this. And when I read Tim Brown's column, I thought, you know what, we've become so used as a society to guys, you know, guy scores a touchdown, he does a 40-minute dance, right? It's like, we've become so used to that, or as Barker, I'm sure you're going to tell me, Marcus Stroman walking off the mound and lipping off the Buck Showalter last night.
Yeah.
We're so used to these displays that we kind of go, yeah, well, okay, it's just in the heat of the moment. Tim Brown's making me wonder if maybe Joe West, you know what, just kind of stood up and said, you know, I'm not going to take this lewd behavior.
Maybe just had enough.
Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports joins us on Baseball Central. And Tim, thanks so much for doing this.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. How are you guys doing today?
Good, thanks.
We're doing well. You got me thinking, my friend, because my first reaction is, What the hell? I know, a bad thing. Eh? What the hell's Joe West doing? And the more I think about it, maybe I'm there with my family at a game. Good for Joe West.
You know, here's what I was struck by, Jeff. He didn't make a big show. You know, Joe's got a reputation as a guy who will thrust himself into any situation and make a big show out of it. But he didn't do that on Sunday. He quietly wandered over, leaned into the dugout, told Jonathan Papelbon that that sort of thing is not going to happen on his watch. Go sit down. And was trying to just wander back to second base. Not a big show at all. And his motivation, I can only imagine, was, hey, you know, how about a little decency? How about treating these people like you'd want your family to be treated? If you brought your family to a baseball game, is that really what you want to be subjected to? So I appreciated what he did, how he did it, what his motivation was. And you're right. We've gotten to a point where we not only expect, but we forgive these actions. And how about a guy just standing up for the decency between human beings and going to a ball game and enjoying yourself and not having to explain to your kids exactly what that was all about?
Yeah, Tim, do you think Joe West will receive any type of punishment from baseball for this? And how would that be handled? Because I know there are times where, umpires will be fined or will be disciplined for something. Does baseball, I'm trying to remember, baseball doesn't make it public all the time, do they?
Not always, particularly I think if it's just a fine. And I do think, and I addressed this a little bit, there's a precedent to think about. Look, Joe West was trying to get back to his position, and Jonathan Papelbon was clearly the instigator of contact, of obstructing West's path back to where he wanted to go. And Joe had just had enough of it. Now, you know, an umpire placing his hands on a player, grabbing a fistful of shirt and pushing him aside, you know, there is the precedent to think about. What happens next time that happens when it's not such a clear-cut case of a guy just trying to extricate himself from a situation. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was docked a little bit of money. He worked the game last night in Tampa, so it seems clear that he's not going to be suspended. But, I would certainly understand baseball's view of let's protect the next time this happens, even if they agreed with Joe. So we'll see. I've heard nothing so far of any sort of discipline.
Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports joins us on Baseball Central at noon. All right, I want to shift focus a little bit to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, a team that you've covered extensively. This is a team that I would not have thought early in the season would win the American League West, a division that I thought was one of the toughest in baseball. And I got to tell you, Tim, when Garrett Richards went down, I thought there was no way in hell they would do anything other than maybe limp into the wild card, and that Mike Socha might be fired, and that there'd be all sorts of changes. Jerry DePoto might be fired. What the hell happened here? was I that wrong, and the Angels that good, or what happened here?
You know what? The offense came alive. The offense has been crazy. Since Josh Hamilton joined this team, I don't know if there's been a time when Hamilton, Trout, and Pujols have all been hot together. But 2 of 3 isn't so bad. And Pujols has gotten hot. Trout has gotten hot. They've scored a ton of runs. Cole Calhoun in the leadoff spot reminds me a little bit of Lenny Dykstra in his prime. He's, that just sort of dirtbag kind of guy who hits you some home runs, gets you some hustle doubles, drive in some runs, just a good ball player, good outfielder. And Matt Shoemaker, undrafted guy out of college, won his 16th game last night. And so, they were really counting on Richards, who had become, by stuff and by outcome, their ace. And yet Shoemaker has stood in there and won a bunch of games for him. Jared Weaver, pitching at 86, 87 every night, has figured it out. He's won 17 games. The bullpen has been rebuilt. Jerry DePoto, who was a reliever, it took him 3-4 years to figure out how to put a bullpen together, but they went and got Houston Street. They went and got Jason Grilley, and it's working. And, the A's helped the Angels an awful lot, but that doesn't speak to what you're speaking to, which is 94 wins mm-hmm. and a 10.5 game lead in that division. I think they've just sort of found themselves at a time when we're all starting to wonder, has the Socia element worn off this team for Dark Octobers? They don't play the kind of game that he managed when they were winning divisions every year, that sort of get after it kind of game. And now they're sort of a batter's box team, and they pitch and they put the bullpen together, and here they are.
Tim, let me ask you, who pitches game one for Anaheim in the playoffs?
I think Weaver, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. I think you lean toward that experience. It certainly would not be C.J. Wilson, who seems to wilt in those big moments. Some concern out here last night in that Shoemaker had to come off the mound. He had something on his left side. Now you're starting to think about obliques or whatever, mm-hmm. and that could be a major issue for them. I think you give the ball to Weaver, hope he pitches twice in a series, and hope you can avoid Wilson more than once.
Well, and I was going to say, I was just looking at the Angels stats. Albert Pujols has played 148 games. He had a hamstring cramp, took him out of last night's game. Eric Eibar has played 146. Howie Kendrick's played 147. So they've had health, which is a good start. And the other thing, too, it doesn't get said, Mike Trout's not a horrible player by any stretch of the imagination, but this isn't his best year. This is actually his worst statistical season of his three.
Yeah. And part of the question about him is, what's going on with all the strikeouts?
Yeah.
Yes, his home run totals are up, but this is a guy who never looked bad in at bat and now looks bad in a lot of at bats. Kind of streaky this year, but end of the day, in my opinion, still the best player in baseball. Still is the reason that offense works. Drives in more than 100, scores more than 100, all out of the two hole. He's really important to them. When he's going well, they are really good.
Mm-hmm. Tim, it was good of you to join us today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too. That is Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports. You got a terrific item up on the Joe West Jonathan Papelbon incident. And like I said, got me thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Got me thinking. When I first saw the incident, I'm not a big fan of anybody putting hands in anybody in baseball, but definitely mm-hmm. not umpires and players. But
it's a bad situation, but it was handled right. So you.
Yeah, and if you do see the replay, I mean, Joe West does. Yeah, I got the impression he was just like, get the hell out of my face.
I think
face.
He just had enough.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
No telling what Papelbon was saying to him.
Yeah, but there you go. So we appreciate Tim Brown joining us. And the Angels, their magic number for clinching the AL West is 3. They have, in fact, or they did, in fact, clinch a playoff spot last night with an 8-1 win. And, boy, they're the best team in baseball right now. We may be looking, tell you what, Angels-Nationals World mm-hmm. Series would be tremendous.
You called baseball. Half of it, so you have to.
I called half of it, yeah, but I do believe I called the Angels to finish third. I can't remember. Anyhow. Well,
50% is pretty good.
It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for us today. We got more to talk about tomorrow, I bet. We'll see what happens tonight. Jays and Orioles.
Hopefully
second
nobody gets thrown
three games
at.
I don't know. Nah. You know what? Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're looking for bloodshed, my guess is you might get it in the final series of the year when the Orioles mm-hmm. are in here for three games. Nothing to play for. But we'll stay on top of it. And I'm sure Marcus Stroman and John Gibbons and Jose Reyes and Buck Showalter will have more to say about it in the lead up to today's game, and we'll be all over it here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. For Kevin Barker and Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks so much for joining us today in Baseball Central at noon. Don't forget, Jays Orioles tonight, second of a three-game series, and we'll be back here tomorrow on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Have a great day, everybody.